1 John chapter number 4, and I'd like to read tonight from verse number 7 down to verse number 21. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath sent, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank You tonight. We have the privilege to read of Your Scripture. We thank You that You've given it to us, You've preserved it for us, and we can have it in our hands tonight. Lord, I pray that it be in our hearts. I pray, O God, that You would speak to us and that we would be willing to make the adjustments in our lives, or allow You to make them, that need so desperately be done. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. Please do not answer this aloud. Do not raise your hand. But do you know anybody that is here or who is not here, or anybody who professes to be a Christian, that you wish that they could hear a message on loving their brother? Don't comment, don't say amen, but I assume tonight most of us could. Let me ask you this question, think about it for a moment. Could you be that brother? Could you be that one to whom somebody wishes you would listen to a message on loving your brother? Interesting thought, is it not? What began my thoughts concerning all this, I mentioned this morning, that is, why do we love? Have you ever heard somebody say to you, perhaps somebody that was very near and close to you, and they say, "Why do you love me?" You ever had somebody ask you that? Why do you love me? And you might think of some reasons to give them. Perhaps your spouse has asked you that, and you might come up with some reasons, and yet they never seem to be quite adequate. You talk about some of their good traits, you talk about this and you talk about that, and it almost sounds like, well, they deserve my love, but so often love is not deserved, is it not? And they may wonder, because they know that some of your reasons may be flattering, but not necessarily truthful, especially in their mind, because they know, well, that's not as true as they might think. From our text, I believe that we can find that real love is impossible outside of the Lord. Notice verse number 7 once again. Let us love one another, for love is of whom? Of God. That's what the Bible says. Love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. I say to you tonight, the love that the Bible speaks of is impossible outside of this thing called salvation. It's outside of knowing God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. I believe from our text that real love is impossible outside of the Lord. Because God is love, He then becomes the generator of it. Why do we love? Because He is the generator of it. Notice verse number 9. It says, "And this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He what? Loved us. And sent His Son to be propitiation for our sins. Drop down to verse number 13. He says, "Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit." You and I tonight, we are what? Products of the love of God, and His love, as it comes to us, can also go through us. We never really, truly understand or know love outside of God. Love of the brethren, we find, becomes proof that God's love is in us. Notice verse 11. "If God so loved us, we ought also to" what? "Love one another." Isn't it interesting? The Bible gives us two great commandments. Matter of fact, the Lord Jesus Christ said all the law hangs upon these two commandments. So we take the Ten Commandments that God gave us, and we can divide them into two sections, and one is to love God, the other is to love our fellow man. It's just that basic. And so God gives us that wonderful opportunity, but it can only be done as we know His love. And love to the brethren, love to those whom we can see, is proof that we have the love of God in our soul. Now drop down to verse number 16 with me and notice what he says. "We have known and believed that love that God hath to us, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." And God tells us here that our love can be perfected. It can be matured, if you please. The love that's in our hearts can actually grow, if you please. How does that take place? I believe verse 16 is very obvious. It is as we build our relationship with God. The more God gets in us, the more love comes from us. Does that not make sense? If God is love, and the more we allow Him to take over our lives, then it does not make sense, the more we love others. And God wants to perfect that love in us. I ask you the question tonight, what is perfected love? What is perfected love? I want to take you tonight back to 1 Corinthians, and we're going to look at what I believe God gives here as a definition of love. I believe it's in 15 parts. We're going to look at this here tonight. Book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 13. By the way, these two chapters are often referred to as the love chapters of the Word of God. As we open our Bibles and as we note here, we're going to find that God uses a word for love that is translated in our King James Bible, charity. I'm glad it is. Charity, I believe, is a word which is love in action. It's an action a word that talks about really our giving. "For God so loved He" what? "He gave." And so charity becomes a tremendous word as we think about love. It's love in action. And as we start in verse number 4, he tells us, first three verses, hey, if we don't have it, there's something wrong. In verse number 4 and down through verse number 8, the very first part of it especially, we find here 15 different things that God says love is. Now I'm going to tell you the truth tonight. In studying for this message, I am not too happy with these verses. You say, why aren't you real happy with these verses? Well, I love the Word of God, but these verses don't make me happy because they are really condemning. They are convicting. They are verses that really get at the heart and the core of this thing that we find is love that is being perfected. Notice, first of all, he says in verse number 4, "Charity suffereth long." Charity suffereth long. Charity, that which is love, which is expressed in our giving, what does it say? It suffers long. What does he mean by that? It means it endures some things. When we love people, we know that there must be an endurance. We know that people who are around us have weaknesses. We know that people around us have, can we use this word, ignorances. People around us, they have errors in their lives. Not necessarily sin in that regard, but there are errors. They don't know how to do things properly. They have infirmities. And yea, even they have wickednesses in their life, but love endures those things. It endures, it suffereth long, it waits on God's providence, waiting upon God to work in their lives because they care about Him. And by the way, without murmuring. One of the quickest things that show forth we do not love is our complaintive attitudes. Charity suffereth long. Notice secondly, it says, is kind. Charity is kind. It means it's mild. It's not creating trouble to anybody. Kindness, being tender in our approach unto others. You know, there's a lot of folks out there that they think, boy, the best way to get along in this world is just be in everybody's face. Is that Christian kindness? Is that really what it's all about? Charity is kind. Notice thirdly, he says charity envieth not. Does not envy the other person. Not jealous of what's taking place in their life. If they have material blessings, they're happy for them. If they have some intellectual blessings. I mean, they've learned some things that we didn't know. And they got something. We're not jealous of it. We're not envious of it. If they had spiritual blessings, God did some things in their spirit. We're not jealous of it. Matter of fact, we are happy over it. Real love is not envious. Envy's not, it says. We're happy for them. I remember when I sat in Bible college, one of our professors, he was a pastor of church. All of them who taught Bible classes were, any pastoral class, it was pastors. And I remember him telling us, he said, one of these days, young fellows, you're going to be sitting in an old jalopy Chevrolet and one of your people is going to come in and they will have bought just a brand new Oldsmobile. Not anymore, they won't. And he's going to say they're going to have one of these beautiful, Mercedes-Benz. They're going to walk in. They're going to have this brand new car. And you're going to have to be happy about it. And he says, only one way that's going to happen. When you love them. Because we're, not envious of it. Notice fourthly, he says, envieth not. And then he says, charity vaunteth not itself. It does not seek to lift itself up. Matter of fact, it desires, real love desires that God might be noted. They're not wanting to be in the front of the class. They're not wanting for folks to make over them. Matter of fact, real love says, I would like for folks to notice you as opposed to me. Vaunteth not itself. Notice also, it says, is not puffed up. You got to forgive me. Many years ago, a guy said, you cannot prove from the Word of God that you're not supposed to smoke. And I said, well, the Bible says, be ye not puffed up. Not right here, but it does say that in a spot. And he says, it says that. I said, yeah, that's what it says. It was quoted out of context. I never said any more. I thought, if you're that stupid, you need to hear that verse like that. And, anyways. But here it's talking about not being puffed up. Knows that whatever they are, it is but by the grace of God. It is God, for they are undeserving. It's the fullness of God that gives us humility. You realize that? It's the fullness of self that brings about pride. But it's not puffed up, not thinking that we are greater than we are. Only by the grace of God is whatever we are. And how the honor and the glory ought to always go to Him. Notice also, he says, doth not behave itself unseemly. Doth not behave itself unseemly. That's interesting terms. I believe it's talking about observing good manners and decorum one with another. Oh my goodness. You can't go to a store, you can't go to a restaurant where people are not rude today. I mean, you cannot go hardly anywhere where there's not that kind of an attitude that's out there. But listen, as God's people, we ought to have and ought to observe good manners. We ought to have that kind of thing where we do not behave ourselves unseemly. But that which is going to bring honor and glory to God. It's interesting how so much of this is saying, you're ahead of me. Notice the next one. Seeketh not her own. Interesting. Charity seeketh not her own. What does charity seek? For God so loved the world that He what? Gave. Charity is that which seeks the welfare of others, putting them ahead of ourselves. It might mean materially. It certainly means spiritually. It certainly means emotionally. Listen, personal comfort is what it seems to be all about today for even God's people so often. But that ought not ever be at the expense of others. That's not Christ-like. It is seeking the benefit and the welfare of those round about us. Seeketh not her own. Is God's Word beating you up? It sure beats me up. Charity is not easily provoked. Not easily provoked. Embitterment and irritation at a neighbor is simply not there when we have real charity. It's not easily provoked. And yet so often as God's people, somebody can just say the littlest little thing and we are... We're like a cat's got the claws out. You know? And we have been provoked. Thinketh no evil. Boy, this is an interesting one. Thinketh no evil. Charity thinketh no evil. Who are we talking about? Listen, our love ought to be brothers to sisters. Certainly it is to God. But where's it going to work itself out the most vividly at when it comes to these things that God speaks of here? Is it not to those who are round about us? And so it says, thinketh no evil. Doesn't make suppositions about what might be going on. Oh, we've got to judge real actions and facts. But it's not thinking what might not be there. Thinketh no evil. That's charity. Charity rejoiceth not in iniquity. I put both these together, but rejoiceth in the truth. Love, it's excited about that which is right. You turn on the news, and what does the news tell us? What is wrong? Yesterday, the news was there was an evil man in Norway who killed over 100 people. But we did not hear yesterday from the news media about somebody who did something really good. Unless it was a rock star who gave $10,000 to the Goodwill or whoever he did that to. But normal people, that doesn't happen to. And we are people who are so... You know why that sells? Because we are a folk who are what? We're interested in the evil. I may get tired of listening to the news because that's all you hear is the bad stuff. Do you sometimes turn it off? You know, there's times I only want to listen to the weather report because they're going to tell me it's going to be 110 degrees tomorrow. Bad news. What is this saying of love? It rejoices where? In that which is right. Well, here's another one. God tells us here, love, charity, not only rejoices not iniquity, but it beareth all things. Verse 7, beareth all things. That carries with it not only the tone of bearing, but covering the faults, not the sins, but the faults of others. It is covering those rather than exposing them. You know, brothers and sisters have faults. One guy picks his nose, one picks his fingernails, the other picks his ear, but we have faults. I mean, we do weird things. And as we think about those things, listen, And that's kind of a silly thing, but folks have faults in their lives, and what does charity do? It seeks to cover that. In fact, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter that love covers a multitude of sin, even speaking of God's love. You know, there's things in people's lives that ought not be told. There's secrets that need to be kept. You know, there's friends that they become friends and they don't become friends all of a sudden. All of a sudden they're telling all these horrible things. That's not love. It beareth all things. See? It covers their faults. We're not talking about sin. We're talking about faults. Notice something else. Believeth all things. Interesting. Charity believeth all things. I think that is trying to tell us that we want to believe the best about other people. Judging from the context and what we've already looked at, I don't believe he's wanting us to believe all the evil things that might be in somebody's life. But believing the best of a person. By the way, you want your children to excel? Believe in them. Don't always believe them, but believe in them. It's amazing what that does to their lives. Believes the best of a person. A lot of times teenagers really get a bad rap. A lot of times folks look at teenagers and say, well, they're just all evil. They're a bunch of, they're deadheads. They don't know anything. You know, we see the T-shirt, you know, hire a teenager while he still knows everything. We have all these stereotype things about them. But really, sometimes we really put them down. You know, some of the most productive people in life can be teenagers. I had the privilege for 10 days to spend with 5 teenagers. Well, 6 if you count Lori's a teenager. She's 37. Teresa, you're at that age too, so don't be burying your face in Jeff's shoulder. But we need to believe the best of a person. Amen. Charity hopeth all things. Hopeth all things. That's interesting to me. To me, what that's trying to say is it anticipates the best of others, even if they're not showing it. It's anticipating it. Hopeth all things. Looking forward to improvement in their life. And again, he says, endureth all things. Very much like the very first thing, charity suffereth long. It bears adversity. Are not relationships difficult? Are not the people who are surrounding you, do they not have those kinds of things that are difficult to deal with? And some of them are adverse. But what is it? Bearing adversity. That's the kind of love that God wants us. That's charity. That is love in action. And I like what I've looking here, what I believe is the last part of the definition, verse number 8, charity never faileth. Doesn't quit. Doesn't give up. It keeps on. Aren't you glad that God does not give up on us? Aren't you glad of that? Why do we love? Well, it's because God so loved us. It's because He came to dwell within us, and because He lives within us, now we can love. Not as the world loves, but really as God does. And that kind of love we have described here in these 15 parts, which is basically saying, the one I love, I want to see the best in their life. I'm desirous of the best that can be produced in their life. And I'm happy to see it take place. And I'm going to stick with them until it does. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we thank You tonight that You so loved us. Lord, we fall so short of this description. Lord, You have smitten my heart over and over with these things. And, oh God, we get so self-centered. We love ourselves more than You. We love ourselves more than others. Oh God, forgive us. I pray that we might understand that our love is most developed when we're walking with You. It doesn't come about as we look at others or look at ourselves, but as we're looking at You. And as it can flood into our soul and through us. But Lord, You've given us here these 15 things that show us if it's really doing that. Oh God, may we honestly, constantly inspect our lives. God calls us to do that even right now. Lord, that we might seek Your forgiveness for being so uncharitable when You have been so charitable to us. Work in our hearts tonight. May You have honor and glory as a result. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.